Today, I'm joined by Pinterest expert Natalie Jill, and we're going to discover how she uses Pinterest to grow her brand, her business, and all of her other social media. Let's do this.
Welcome to the Social Media Social Hour, bringing you up close and personal with successful brands and influencers to talk about social media, digital, and online marketing. Now, here's your host, Tyler Anderson.
Welcome to the Social Media Social Hour. I'm Tyler Anderson, and this is the show for marketers and entrepreneurs looking to get on the social media fast track. All right, fantastic show today. I'm joined by Natalie Jill of NatalieJillFitness.com. Now, Natalie essentially grew her business in the last 3 years to over seven figures, and we're going to dive into exactly how she did that today. What's so great about the tactics and strategy that Natalie describes in this episode today is it really is applicable for any business out there. I'm not going to say it's good for 100% of you guys, but probably 90% of the businesses can use the strategies and tactics that Natalie talks about. So let's not waste any more time. Let's get to our interview with Natalie Jill. But before that, check this out.
The Social Media Social Hour is brought to you by Scoreboard Social. To get competitive social media analytics for Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, go to scoreboardsocial.com. Here to share their social media wisdom is this week's special guest.
And joining me on the line right now is a social media marketing expert. In fact, she grew her business to over seven figures in less than 3 years. Her business is NatalieJillFitness.com. I'm pleased to introduce to you guys Natalie Jill. Natalie, what is up? And thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Well, I'm really excited to have you. First of all, I do owe you a huge thank you. You spoke a few weeks ago at Social Media Day San Diego. And the speaker surveys have been coming back. And from the general consensus, people thought you crushed it.
Thank you.
So now I actually really haven't even spoke. Did you have fun at the event?
I did have fun. It was a great event. It was a lot of energy there, a lot of great speakers. I was happy to be one of the ones chosen to speak amongst them.
Well, it certainly was a lot of fun. There was a great lineup, like you said. And, you know, as the guy who puts that on, contrary to a lot of people's belief, I don't really get to see anything. So I don't even think I saw more than 10 seconds of you actually on stage. So I'm actually looking forward to having you on the show today to really kind of dive a little deeper than perhaps what you covered that day on stage and everything. And you have a really great story. I mean, I first was introduced to you at Social Media Marketing World. And it's funny because I know, you know, we had you at Social Media Day to really kind of talk about Pinterest, but you're so much more than just Pinterest. In fact, I'm just going to rattle off Natalie's social stats here for the audience out there. Her business has over 1 million Facebook likes. They have almost 500,000 Instagram followers, over 95,000 YouTube subscribers, 48,000 Pinterest followers, and 15,000 Twitter followers. That's amazing.
Thank you.
And it's so funny that Pinterest was the one that we had you speaking about, yet here you are with almost 500,000 Instagram followers and 1 million Facebook fans.
Yeah, you know, I like speaking about Pinterest though, because I truly use Pinterest as the connector profile. That is the one that helps me build all of them.
Ooh, and I definitely want to get into that because I did see that and I've heard mentions of that. But before we dive into all that, for the audience maybe not familiar with you, Natalie, let's kind of like, you know, hit the rewind button. You know, how did you go from, you know, nothing to this seven figure business in 3 years? And I guess I'm going to have you start with this. Like, were you just always like a fitness guru? And then one day you decided to like put it all online. How'd you get started?
No, actually not at all. So fitness and nutrition was always a passion of mine, but I was sales and marketing at heart. In fact, I was at a Fortune 500 company for a number of years in a completely unrelated field, dental implants. And I was a sales director and had a number of different roles there, but it was always sales and marketing that was my interest. And in fact, I used to Google the fact that I would be out talking to dentists and oral surgeons, and I would always have the best days when they would ask me fitness and nutrition questions, because that was always the stuff I liked to talk about. But what happened was it was a hobby of mine, fitness and nutrition, and I had transitioned from being in this, you know, stellar position at corporate America, having what people thought was the perfect life, to all of a sudden finding myself in a really bad place where I was going through a divorce. The housing market had crashed. The stock market had crashed. I was one of those stereotypical house poor people all of a sudden. Somebody who had what looked on the outside like this perfect life, but just everything was crumbling around me. And even though I had this great, fantastic job, I was in a spot where I couldn't pay my bills anymore.
But what time, like, was this like a 2009, 2008?
My daughter was born in 2007. And it was around that time that I knew I was going to have to make a shift at some point. It was starting to spiral downhill for me back then. That's when it was starting. But I hung on to my corporate job for quite some time. And then what happened was I started like doing some fitness nutrition on the side, just through Facebook, just sharing my stuff there, just literally sharing what I was doing, what I was eating. And I found that that was more fun for me than doing my corporate job.
And were you sharing this on your personal Facebook page?
My personal Facebook page. I think I had 200 high school friends, and I was really using Facebook as a way initially to connect and find like-minded people. You know, I was going through a divorce, I was overweight, and I thought, I'm going to share what I'm doing. And it was a social thing for me. It was fun.
Yep.
And what happened was that started evolving. And as I was going through changes in my life, changing my body, changing my mindset, and trying to come out of this depression, I started hanging on to Facebook a little bit more and more. But it wasn't until 3 years ago that I really decided that, you know what, I have people really interested in what I'm doing here. And when I say people interested, I maybe had 1,000 people now on my Facebook.
And these are still friends, like a personal page, right?
Yeah, a personal page. And it started growing a little bit. People, friends of friends, seeing my recipes and whatever. But it definitely was at that, like, before Facebook had the subscribers. I want to say I had 1,000 or so people. But I had people interested. And I thought, you know what, I could do something with this. But I didn't have a grand business plan. I just knew I wanted to keep moving in that direction. And that's where it sort of started.
Very cool. So why don't you kind of take us from the transition of like how you left the corporate world to where you knew that this was actually going to be a business that you could make a living off of.
Sure. So I knew there was something wrong with the fact that I wanted to spend all day on Facebook. I didn't want to be at corporate. I wanted to work on recipes and what I was doing for a workout. And I was challenging myself to get in better shape and to get into fitness modeling. And I just knew I wanted to spend time doing that. And I didn't even think of it, how I would make a career out of it. But I kept sharing. And when you really look at a true salesperson, a good salesperson is good at figuring out problems that people have and offering a solution. And it's their legitimate solutions. And that's really what I sort of fell into by accident. I had a lot of people interested in what I was sharing, but they were asking questions. How do I do this? How do I use this to create my body? How do I make these changes? So I started getting really much more interested in that. And as I was doing that, I was definitely slacking on the corporate stuff. I wasn't interested anymore. And I had taken a voluntary demotion, being a single mom now. So I had to make a change. I was realizing I have to make a change, but it was scary. It was scary. So I decided to put my eggs into one basket and give it this, I'm going to jump into this. I don't know how it's going to work, but I'm going to make it work. And I quit my job. And what I did was I turned my little BlackBerry phone recipes that I had been sharing on Facebook. I turned it into a $12 PDF download, my first recipe book.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And, you know, I made a little bit of money here and there. And I sort of thought, well, I can consult with people. I could help on the side if I need to. I could teach people what I'm learning. That was sort of how I dove into it. But what happened was people started really responding to these recipes and they wanted to know how to put them together to lose weight. So I created what really changed everything for me. In one weekend, I created what's now my 7-day jumpstart program, where I just wrote out exactly what I had done from depression to fit, basically, like how I wrote out my goals, created a vision board, how I did the kind of recipes I ate, what I did to change. And that program, just through an ebook download that I wrote in a weekend, took off. And I just started sharing what people were doing with it. So someone would buy it and they would send me an email a week or 2 weeks later and say, my gosh, I loved your 7-day jumpstart. I lost 5 pounds week one. This is incredible. I feel great. My energy. And I would share it on Facebook. And it would attract more people. And it just kept growing.
So it all started with Facebook.
It all started with Facebook.
And when you were doing that, even like that first $12 PDF you had, I can't remember if you said this. So did you say you took the demotion or you actually had quit your job?
I took a job demotion and then I quit my job. I don't want to mess up my dates, but it was either right then or right around then. I quit my job not knowing how I was going to pay my bills. I'll tell you that. It was a gut feeling that I was going to figure out a way to make money somehow with what I was learning, but I did not know how.
And what year was that when you quit?
Oh my gosh. 2000. Let's see. I got to backtrack in my mind now. I'm horrible with dates. So it's 2015. I quit in 2012.
2012. Okay. Yeah. So in 2012, when you quit, you pretty much just had the Facebook.
2011. Must have been 2011.
2011.
Yes.
So you pretty much just had the Facebook page.
Yep.
And it wasn't even a page still. It was your personal page, right?
It was a personal page.
And then you were promoting this ebook, getting some sales, thinking you could do some coaching and all that.
Yes.
Were you self-taught? Did you have any mentors who kind of helped you kind of take off with this?
For the nutrition and the fitness or for the social media?
Kind of with both, I guess. I mean, okay, so I'm assuming the nutrition, I would assume a lot of it was like, that would have been probably, I'm assuming like self-taught through books, right?
Yes, self-taught. I did get certifications because I was interested in learning for me. So a lot of that was self-taught. I did get my credentials with all of that. But the social media, I never had any formal training. I really did what I knew in my gut. I was being authentic. Mm-hmm. I was listening to people and I was giving them products, programs, and ideas based on what they were asking for. You know, I see a lot of people jump into social media with this grand plan of what they're going to sell people. And it just doesn't work that way, because if you don't have a following and you don't know what they're looking for, how are you going to give them a solution? I can't just go create a program and say, I'm going to just go sell this. I mean, I could, it's just a lot harder.
Yep.
But if I'm really developing a following based on, you know, shared interests, I can understand what their problems are and what their needs are. And I said on social media day on stage, I said, the key to everything is if you can offer a solution to a shared problem, that's everything.
Yeah. No, it's great you say that. I mean, one of the best examples out there that I know of is John Lee Dumas. He basically built the platform, had all these listeners on his show, and then he basically created this platform and basically he went out to them. What do you guys want? Listen to their problems.
Yeah.
And then he basically created the solutions to their problems. And he had this audience who was instantly, you know, ready to activate and buy on what he was selling. So, and that's worked out well
for
him.
And I always recommend doing it. You know, I think of my latest, even my latest fitness products. I never got into this thinking I was going to create workout DVDs. You know, once I learned digital, I was into that. But listening to my audience and always sticking with that, when I heard they want workouts in old-fashioned DVDs, that's what I created. I just always listen to my audience and I create what they're asking for.
Got it. So kind of summarizing here, I mean, obviously you had to get your certifications. You had to kind of, you know, you had to be the expert in the fitness, or you had to at least have credibility, more or less.
Sure.
It's always like the example I give people, you know, you wouldn't want to, you know, trust a financial advisor who is broke, right?
So, but as long as you're being honest with things, like you don't have to pretend. If you're giving advice and you say, I'm not a doctor, but this is what worked for me, that's okay. As long as people are real and honest and not trying to hide things, people respect that. There's a lot of solid people that give great fitness and nutrition that don't have the credentials I have or better or anything. But if they're being honest and authentic and saying, this is what I did, people still want that.
Okay. So fast forwarding here a little bit then. Mm-hmm. So now you have a successful business going. Let's kind of take a peek under the covers of what's running Natalie Jill Fitness. Yeah. Okay. So, obviously to get you had the Facebook page that was at a personal profile. Then it was obviously either converted to a business page or you started from scratch. Okay. It's converted over 1 million likes, as we said. The Instagram following, 445,000, 95,000 YouTube subscribers. You're cranking out the content, right?
I am cranking out the content.
Let's talk about your content process. Like, what is your team? Why don't you kind of give us a little glimpse at how that works for you guys?
Well, first and foremost, I want to say, and this can be scary for people, but it doesn't have to be. You have to create your own content. You'll never hire somebody to create your brand or business content. It just can't happen. But that being said, you don't need a lot of it. You just need the right things and you can share it in a number of different ways. Let me give you an example. Take a YouTube video that I do. That one YouTube video becomes my content for Pinterest, for Twitter, for Facebook, for Instagram, all from one video. But it's still my content. But if I were to just go hire somebody just to create a bunch of whatever content, that's not truly my brand and that won't grow. I've tried that. That does not work.
Can you elaborate on that? Like, what have you tried to hire somebody to create content for?
Yeah, of course. Pinterest is the perfect example. When I had been working on Facebook and Instagram, and I knew Pinterest played a role, but I didn't understand it yet. My first step was I thought, I don't have time to deal with it. I'm going to hire somebody to handle my Pinterest. I'm going to hire a Pinterest expert. So I did. I hired someone, and I saw my account was growing, and I didn't really pay much attention to it until one day I did. And I saw I had a gazillion boards with 9,000 pins going to just about nowhere. And it was just junk. And I had realized my website and my anything linking on my Pinterest was no longer showing up in Google because I had been banned for spam. And I thought, okay, this is a problem. And so I dove in, I cleaned up my Pinterest account, got rid of that person, deleted everything down to I now had just a few hundred followers left. And I dove in with my own content, building it. And that is why I ended up creating a Pinterest program, is because I figured it all out in a couple of weeks. And I thought, I need to share this with other people. That was a big lesson of mine on having someone else do my social media without first understanding it.
Gotcha. And then so as far as like the team now, though, you're talking about like creating that content. So you might hire someone who maybe comes in and obviously records you doing your video, or maybe you have somebody on your staff, I guess, who does it. And so you take this video for YouTube. I'm assuming then, are you taking that same file that's going for YouTube and then breaking it up for pieces like on Instagram and Facebook?
I absolutely can. I'll give you two examples that will really break it down for people. The first is my Instagram and Facebook video that I like to talk about. Every morning at 6 a.m., I post a video on Facebook and Instagram. It's 15 seconds long. I know that works with my following. They expect it. When I first started doing that, it was a three-hour process every day. You know, get up, got to look somewhat cute because I'm going to be on camera. Wake up my boyfriend at the time. I wouldn't like what he shot. I'd have to edit it. We would argue about that. You know, then it was finding the right music and the right caption and then uploading it. It would take all morning. Yep. You know, it didn't make sense. So whenever I come up with something that is a good thing for my following, but doesn't make sense time-wise, I have to create a system. So that got turned into, okay, could I once a week shoot a bunch of clips and edit them in one sitting? Okay. That saves a little time. To fast forward, could I once a month really create a lot of clips, have somebody categorize them in Dropbox and teach somebody how to edit those clips, you know, and then fast forwarding a year into it, I now have 800 clips. It's very easy to outsource somebody, you know, itemizing them in Dropbox and Google Docs with my caption and me just having someone schedule.
So this is actually interesting. I want to kind of rewind here. So if I'm hearing you correctly, you're saying you're basically doing these shoots maybe like once a month now.
Yes.
So you're spending like one day or maybe even like a couple days.
Couple hours in the morning.
And you're just cranking out all these exercises.
Yep.
You're getting hours and hours of footage, and then you're having those broken down into smaller clips that are going to Dropbox, and that's part of your social strategy.
Yes.
That's fantastic. And
that's for Instagram and Facebook, little short clips. It's just a way of how can I break down a system that's used to take me every day. Now, my YouTube, for instance, that's a little different. Every 3 months, I will have a set day to 2 or 3 days. I have one coming up where I shoot all my YouTube content. So I have a crew come in. We'll film 20 videos right then. They will edit them for me the way that I like, create thumbnails. I then will have a graphic artist take those YouTube videos, make printable cards from those to go on my blog, to go on my Pinterest, and then I'll make squares from them to go on my Facebook and come up with a list of tweets from that. So I basically am taking those 2 to 3 days of YouTube videos and turning it into months of content.
Gotcha. This is fantastic stuff. Now, one thing I want to kind of dive in a little on is, you know, the difference between the content you're posting on, like, you know, your the social sites and even maybe your blog, because I'm looking at your blog. Sure. And I see that you have like a body weight bicep workout on here.
Yes.
Versus the programs that you're selling. Like, because one of the biggest things when it comes to content marketing, a lot of times I'll say is just give it away for free. How much are you giving away for free versus like what you're maybe asking for people to purchase through one of your programs?
Sure. 95% of what I give away is free. What I share is for free. And I feel that that's extremely important because you want people, you know, it never taps into your business. It's really funny because I'll tell you, I originally started sharing a lot of workout stuff because I had built on sharing nutrition, and then 7-day jumpstart and my recipe books became my products, right? So I'm thinking, okay, I don't want to share too much nutrition because I sell that. I'll start sharing workout. But what's funny now is so much of what I do and share is workout. But what that did is it created a whole new following of people that want my workouts. And I now sell more workout programs and DVDs than I do nutrition. Wow. And I'm still sharing free workout content. So sharing that free content drives people to become fans of yours. They trust you, they like you, and then they want more.
Very cool. Now, you know, one thing I want to touch on, and I don't, this is actually funny. People would probably assume I know the answer, but I don't. I've always been curious by this. So as technology's evolved, I mean, I can't even tell you the last time I bought a DVD, and you just said like workout DVDs. Is pretty much all your content then just like when you pass them on to your subscribers, is it like YouTube links that are maybe password protected, or do you actually send out to these people like DVDs?
I have physical DVDs now. Because again, I'm a huge fan of listening to your audience and giving them what you want. I started with all digital programs, PDFs. I was a queen of ebooks and PDFs.
Yep.
But I have a following that wants hard copies. So I went and produced DVDs. I have 4 solid DVDs that are sold now. They hit bestseller last year. And I have a full book publishing deal right now in the works for a hard copy book. So I am not opposed. I don't think that there's one way over another. I think you just have to be smart, build your audience, and listen to what they want.
That's great. Smart, listen to your audience and build what they want. There you go.
Tyler, so, you know, just even my DVDs, for instance, I still make a digital version of them so people can download a version if that's what they prefer. But it's amazing how many still do want the hard copy, the physical product.
Yeah, no, for sure. So I want to kind of finish up here just with the blog. So I'm looking at here, and it seems like you guys are cranking out a fair amount of content on the blog too. How does the blog tie into any of your social media strategy?
Sure. So every single thing I do, and my Pinterest program is called Pinfinity for this reason, because I link everything together. If you click on one of my blogs, for instance, you mentioned a body weight one. Mm-hmm. What you'll notice is I have a YouTube video embedded on that blog.
Yep.
And I have a printable workout card that takes you, if you click on it, to my Pinterest account. So everything goes in a circle on mine. So every piece of content I film or do gets used in multiple areas, my blog being one of them. And I use Pinterest to link everything together always. So that one blog that you're seeing, that is got my YouTube video, a Pinterest card. It has a call to action for a program on the bottom. And I do a post on Facebook and Instagram, typically driving them to that blog as well. So I make sure my content gets shared in every which direction all the time.
Very cool. And actually, I lied, Natalie. The last like serious question before we get to the fun stuff is, you hinted at this at the beginning, and you just kind of what you just talked about here, how everything kind of like links back to it, got me kind of thinking. You talked about how you use Pinterest to grow your Facebook and your YouTube accounts. Can you kind of dive into that a little bit more?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I have a whole program on it. So I'll try to give you the bullets. It was hard talking in 30 minutes at Social Media Day about it. Pinterest has what's called the content value over time. When you look at social media, there's only 2 social media sites that have that. One is YouTube. That means a video gets better over time. It grows, gets more views. And then there's Pinterest, which does the same thing. Everything else is gone in a minute unless you run ads to it. You put something on Twitter, Periscope, Snapchat, Instagram, it is gone in a minute, right? Someone sees it, it's gone. Facebook, you can run an ad and it'll make it last longer, but that's about it. So Pinterest, because it lasts longer and because it comes up in SEO searches all the time, why not run everything through Pinterest? So, and for example, let's say I have, this is a big way I grew my Facebook. If you look at one of my morning video clips on Facebook, I knew people liked them. But I knew they weren't coming up in search engines. So what I did is I would make a screenshot of that video, put it on Pinterest, and I would talk about the workout on Pinterest, code it right for SEO, and then I would edit that URL to link back to my Facebook video. So now somebody searching for bicep workouts would come across my video on Pinterest, and when they'd click on it, they'd be on my Facebook page.
Gotcha.
And that's one example.
Very cool. Okay.
One example. And I've done that really throughout Pinterest. I mean, that's why I would say of all my social media sites, Pinterest is my absolute favorite, because I spend the least time on there, but I'm so strategic with it that it's helped me with everything.
So if you're doing that video, so you're trying to obviously drive traffic to that video, which can create more increased traction on your Facebook page. And then you're talking also how you would maybe put that same video on YouTube. Would you create 2 different images then for Pinterest, one driving to YouTube and one for Facebook?
Yeah. So for that one, I would do that. For YouTube, I do a little differently. My YouTube example is if you go to my Pinterest account and you look at my printable workout cardboard, that one you'll see it has, those pins have over 1,000 shares, many of them. That is actually made directly from my YouTube videos. And I put those on Pinterest. and they link right to my YouTube videos. That's a big way I grew YouTube views. And I make a square version of that card for my Facebook and my Instagram.
Very cool. So actually, you bring up a good point. I remember like when Pinterest kind of first came out, everybody was like really into doing these long graphics. Has that changed now? Is there different size graphics you should be using for the different types of content you're trying to pin?
I still like the long and skinny because I think it really shows. I also think less is more. Mm-hmm. Paying attention. You want pins that add value. Otherwise, you're just taking up space. You have to make sure they add value to the person you're trying to attract. And I'm a huge fan of directing those pins, making sure that everything is directed where you need people to go and not as a trickery thing. You know, I do see people doing it wrong where they take somebody else's image and they link it to their opt-in that has nothing to do with anything. You know, that's, people are on to that. Yeah. You don't want to do that. But as long as it's legit information that you are helping people find it, Pinterest is a huge connector. And I was so impressed with it. That's literally why I made an entire program about how to use Pinterest as a connector. It's just so much you can do with it.
No, I think it's brilliant. And I know Pinterest has their hot categories such as, you know, fitness, health, food, weddings, all that. But I really believe any business that has, you know, a remote presence any on business. That category can leverage these tactics for sure.
Any business can do it. You know, and it's like you said at the beginning, I didn't know you had that Facebook following and I had you speak on Pinterest. Pinterest is the one I'd want to speak on for this reason because you just can't do that on the other social media sites.
No, not at all. Well, this has been great stuff. Well, Natalie, we have a fun little feature how we wrap up our podcast here called the Six Pack. And we're going to get to that right now. Okay.
Sounds good.
The Six Pack. Time to get up close and personal with today's special guest.
All right, here's how it works. Six simple questions, and you just got to go ahead and give me one simple answer, okay?
All right.
Okay, last movie you saw in a movie theater.
Oh, boy. Oh, my gosh. It's embarrassing. What's that? XXX Mike, whatever.
Oh, the Magic Mike.
Can I make my husband go with me? He gets brownie points for that one.
My wife went to that, and she came back, and she goes, I feel like I just cheated on you.
Yeah.
Okay, free weights or machines?
Neither.
Body weight, okay. All right, this one, I don't know if you have an answer or not. The most push-ups you've done consecutively?
Oh, my gosh. Most push-ups done, you know what? I don't know, but I bet I could knock a lot out. I could probably do 100, I bet. That's like my core exercise.
That's tough. That's good. I remember being a kid. I don't know if you know the name Herschel Walker or not. Former football player. And I remember being in like sixth grade and he had this workout book and he would do 1,000 push-ups, 1,000 sit-ups, and 1,000 pull-ups.
Love it.
Every day before he would go to bed. That was his,
a thousand.
That was his routine is he had to do 1,000. And that's all he did. He didn't do any free weights either. So
yeah, people definitely underestimate the body weight stuff because you push-ups, pull-ups, chin-ups, all that crushes it.
Yep. Okay. Even though you're big into health and fitness, I'm assuming you have to have a sweet tooth. What's your one go-to sweet?
I have a huge sweet tooth. My gosh, there's nothing off limits to me with that. I love sweets. I can't help it. ice cream. I'll go with, but the real deal. I don't do the fat-free, sugar-free junk. I want like real ice cream.
You go for the real deal. I hear you.
Yes.
Okay. One place you want to visit that you've never been to before?
Australia.
All right. And last but not least, I have to ask this one because you're in the fitness space. So I'm always curious about this. I remember growing up with I think it was like Tybo. And then like, it seemed like every guy I knew in mid-2000s was on P90X.
Right.
Tybo or P90X.
God, you know, I don't know. I personally met Tony Horton, so I'll have to say that just because he was a nice guy.
That guy's a machine. And he's on his third course now, isn't he?
Yeah, I was on a panel with him. He's got a lot of energy. I'll tell you that. That guy's got a lot of energy.
He does have a lot of energy. Well, hey, Natalie, great stuff today. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us. For more about Natalie Jill, be sure to check out nataliejillfitness.com. Of course, every social network that we were talking about today, she does have links on her website. So you can go out there and check out all these profiles and see what she's doing in place and see how she's making it all work. Natalie, is there anything else for our listeners today?
No, if they want more interest on my Pinterest academy, can
absolutely.
I share that?
We'll put a link in the show notes too.
Getpinfinity.com.
Getpinfinity.com. And we will have a link to that and everything we mentioned in today's show notes. Hey, Natalie, thanks again.
Thank you.
If you enjoyed today's special guest, please tell your friends about it. Simply go to casualfridays.com/awesome.
All right. I would like to go ahead and thank Natalie Jill again for coming on today's show. Gosh, that is just some super cool stuff that she's talking about. I mean, especially her ideas on using Pinterest to grow your other social networks. That's just a killer strategy right there. I love it. Totally going to start implementing that on our end. All right. Again, if you'd like to learn more about that Pinfinity program that Natalie is offering, of course, we will have links in our show notes. Speaking of show notes, if you missed anything else that Natalie and I talked about in today's show, you can find those show notes at casualfridays.com/84. That is casualfridays.com/84. If you enjoyed the show, please tell me about it. Be sure to go to iTunes and give us a rating or write a review. If you don't know how to find us in iTunes, just go to casualfridays.com/subscribe and we'll take you right there. Thanks again for joining me today. You guys have a great week.
Thanks for listening to the Social Media Social Hour with Tyler Anderson. If you enjoy the Social Media Social Hour, please give us a rating, write a review, or subscribe. Simply surf over to casualfridays.com/subscribe. The Social Media Social Hour is a production of Casual Fridays.